My name's Craig, and it's great to be with you this morning, and it's great to break bread. I love breaking bread, and we're going to come straight to God's table this morning as we break bread together. I'm going to preach for a short time. We're going to break bread together, but what we wanted to do was just change things around a bit. We've shortened the meeting a little bit so we can all stay for longer and have something to eat and fellowship together this morning. So let's pray, and we come to God's word this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence in our worship, and as we come to your word, we ask you to speak to us and make your word living and active, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, won't you turn with me to Mark chapter 14, please. Mark 14. Mark chapter 14, and we're going to read from verse 12 together. Mark 14, verse 12, it says, "And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they had sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, 'Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?' And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, 'Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, go to the master of the house. And the teacher says, "Where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. There prepare for us." And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12, and as they were reclining at the table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And then if we go further to verse 22, it says, "And as they were eating," notice that, "he took the bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, 'Take, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God.'" Amen. And so here we find that Jesus is preparing to eat celebrate the Passover and eat the Passover with his disciples. It really was the most important meal and event in the history of Israel, because it represented the beginning of their nation. You remember the story in the Old Testament, where they were in Egypt in bondage, and God told them to take a lamb without defect and to slaughter the lamb and to put the blood on the doorposts, on the top and the sides of the doorposts. Some people say it symbolizes a cross. And as the angel of death came over the Egyptian nation, when he saw the blood, he would pass over. So it really represented the deliverance of the Israelites from the land of Egypt. And so this is the Passover that they are preparing to celebrate and to remember the history of Israel together. But then we find in the middle of it, Jesus changes it and he reinterprets the meal. And we'll get to that in a few moments. But before we get there, I just want you to notice a few things. Firstly, I want you to notice that what we call communion, what we have here today, was really part of a much bigger meal that was celebrated by the Jews around March and April, this Passover celebration. And I just want you to notice there in verse 12, it says, his disciples said, "Where should we go and prepare for us to eat the Passover?" So it was a meal. And then in verse 18, it says, while they were reclining at the table and eating. They were eating together, and then Jesus picked up the bread and picked up the cup as well. And so I want you to see that it was part of a bigger meal. It wasn't just the bread and the grape juice as we have it today. We do things like this, but it was often part of a bigger meal. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to finish up here, and we're going to go and eat together and fellowship together, just to change things a little bit and to remind us that it was part of a bigger meal as well. And I want you to know as well that Jesus loved eating with people. He loved eating with people, and there's a reason for that, because it's pointing out to the fact that Christianity is not just a series of meetings on Sundays, but it's a way of life. And that God loves his people and loves being amongst his people. In Luke chapter 5, they asked Jesus, they said, "The disciples of John fast often and offer prayers, as do the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink. Why aren't you more like John the Baptist?" So Jesus was known as someone who went around eating and drinking more than they knew him as someone who fasted. In Luke chapter 7, it says, "For John the Baptist came eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say has a demon, but the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." And so that's what they said about Jesus. We find also that in Luke chapter 9, Jesus fed the 5,000. Remember, he took that little boy's lunchbox and he fed the 5,000 and he got them to sit in rows. Jesus was like the host. He was hosting the meal and he got them to sit and he broke the bread. Hallelujah. And so Jesus spent a lot of time having meals with people. It's wonderful. And scripture often describes salvation and our relationship with the Lord as a banquet, as being in a banquet, not just a cheap meal at Wimpy, you know, French fries and a Coke, but it's a banquet. In Isaiah chapter 25, it's described, and the Lord says in verse 6, "On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over the people, a veil that spread over the nations. He will swallow up death forever." Hallelujah. And so, friends, this is a picture of our salvation. It's meant to be full of happiness and joy and celebration and dancing and joy and shouting and more celebration. It's a picture of the Christian life. And you'll find even in the resurrection appearances of Jesus, this was just before Jesus died, he's eating with them, but even after he rose from the dead, you'll find he's eating with his disciples all the time. And in John chapter 21, you remember they're out fishing and they see him on the beach. And what's Jesus doing on the beach? Can anybody remember? Nigel would get it right. He's making a fish bra. Nigel's our fisherman. He's making a fish bra for the disciples on the beach. And then in Acts chapter 1, it says, while they were together, some translation says, and while they were eating, he said to them, "Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of my Father, the Holy Spirit, to come upon you." And so, friends, salvation is described in this way. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We're meant to enjoy ourselves. We're meant to have fun. We're meant to celebrate the goodness of our God. And even personal salvation is described in this way. Remember in Revelation, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come in and I will feast with him. I will eat with him and he with me." And it's this picture of this two-way process where Jesus is coming into our lives, but he's fellowshipping with us with joy. Hallelujah. It's just wonderful. And I'm so glad he's like that. I'm so glad God is like that. It's wonderful to have a God that loves to eat and be with his people. But also secondly, I want you to see that the early church also did this. They celebrated together. They ate together. They were together all the time. It says in Acts chapter 2, they met every day. Let's just read that together. In Acts chapter 2, those 3,000 that were saved on the day of Pentecost, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers, and they were all together. They had all things in common, and day by day, they attended the temple together, breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Hallelujah. And so we find in the early church, as the Holy Spirit was poured out, it was really a revival situation, but Christianity spread like wildfire. It spread throughout the Roman Empire. And even though they tried to squash it, it spread. And every day they met together, whether they were slaves or rich or young or old, somehow they managed to come together every day. And they were praising God and they were sharing food together. And that was one of their means of evangelism, was to help one another and share food together. And people on the outside were watching this and they were saying, you know, these Christians, they love each other. They care for each other. They're rejoicing. Doesn't matter what happens to them. They keep rejoicing in God. And we want to be part of this. We want to be part of the people of God. Hallelujah. There were no evangelism courses in the New Testament. They didn't need it because they were the people of God together, enjoying one another, celebrating together. Hallelujah. Christianity is not just about me and Jesus. God joins us to others. He joins us to a community just like this. Hallelujah. And these meals were about? They were about celebration. They were about rejoicing and enjoying one another. If the kingdom of God is not about enjoying ourselves, then what are we doing here? It's not meant to be serious all the time. It's not meant to just be stiff and starchy. It's meant to be full of the joy of the Lord, to celebrate together, to feast together, to have fun together, to love one another. And when the world sees that, they'll see by their love for one another, they'll know that we are His disciples. Hallelujah. And so that's what the kingdom of God is like. And these meals also, thirdly, they involve hospitality. We did a big series in this church a few years ago. And as we analyzed our evangelistic potential, we realized our top area of missional evangelistic strength is our ability to eat. We're good at eating in this church. We discovered that. And so we said, actually, let's make eating our top evangelistic priority. Just like in the early church. Amen. And let's invite folks to eat with us like we're doing this morning. If you're a visitor, you're most welcome. Please let them get to the tables first. And we said that hospitality is a key means of reaching our city. And I just want to say a few things about hospitality. And I hope you feel so challenged afterwards that you'll rush to Louise and sign up to be on hospitality for the next couple of months. And so hospitality is big in the Bible. Because God wants us to invite others in because we ourselves have been invited in by God. Hallelujah. He's made room at His table for us. And we must make room for others. Whether you use your home or not, or whether you go to the Wimpy, or whether you just have coffee with someone, it's part of inviting people in. It's the Greek word is actually love of strangers. Looking out for strangers and visitors. Hospitality puts people before things and seeks to serve. Entertainment puts things before people and seeks to impress. We're not talking about entertainment, we're talking about hospitality. Hallelujah. Entertainment can be expensive. Hospitality doesn't need to be expensive. It's about making people feel welcome. And that's what we're wanting to do this morning. We're wanting to make one another feel welcome here. Hospitality brings the church to the people. It doesn't just wait for people to come to the church. It's the strategic use of our homes or even just a coffee shop or just meeting with someone. And it promotes intimacy and fellowship and awareness of people's needs and loneliness. It shows, friends, that Christianity is a way of life. It's not just a series of Sunday meetings. It's a way of life together. It's wonderful. And it's so important that we do that and we keep doing that. And so this morning as we do that, I would encourage you to act as a host here with us. And in fact, every Sunday, we mustn't just see Louise or Masala or the elders as hosts. We're all hosts in this place. We're all hosting the meeting. We're all looking out for one another. Grace Jen, it's time to engage again in these things. It's time to engage. It's time to remember our visitor. It's time to not just huddle with our friends. As we look at hospitality, as we support this Bible culture. And Bible culture, in a sense, is closer to Asian culture or African culture, where you don't just wait for an invite. You actually go to people's houses. And you'll never leave without some food. Never. It's wonderful. It's so wonderful. And so I would encourage you to do that. What do meals do? What do you do when you eat together? Well, even light meals, you have to slow down. And you can't talk all the time because you've got to eat. You give the other person a chance to talk while you're swallowing. And you accept the other person. And you get to know about the other person. And you welcome them. You sit down together. It kind of removes barriers. It's wonderful leveling ground to eat together. When you sit down and eat with someone, it's a sign that all is well in our relationship. And so meals are places where things happen, miracles happen. and where God can do stuff amongst us. I've told you the story before. It's how I ended up where I am today was because we went to a Baptist church years and years and years ago as a young man with my mate. And we got to this Baptist church, and before we heard the preaching, we had two women at the door fighting with each other over who was going to take us to lunch. And I thought, this is the kind of church I want to be part of. I was 73 kilos in those days, and I was always hungry. So I thought, this is a great church. I want to be part of this church that's fighting over hospitality. And God used that. The preaching was also good, I might add. But hospitality is wonderful. It's wonderful, and it involves connecting to people and giving people your attention. It involves concentration, the ability to pay attention to someone else and not be distracted. And it involves community, being a community on a mission, being a community on a mission that right throughout this area and even our city that they would know we're not just a multicultural community. We don't just want to be a multicultural community. We want to be a multicultural community on mission. We want to be a people that loves others and reaches out to others. They say 78% of people come to Christ as a result of ordinary Christians. They make about 18 micro decisions before they become a Christian. But it's Christians that befriend other people that cause people to come to Christ. Sheep make sheep, not shepherds. It's ordinary people that are used by God to reach others. And so Romans chapter 12 verse 13 says, practice hospitality. And in the New Testament, often leaders were just chosen by those that had the gift of hospitality and a bit of maturity. They were appointed leaders and elders. It was a huge thing. And so finally, as I come to my last point, we're now going to look at the Lord's Supper, which was part of this Passover meal as they were reclining. And they were eating together, and they expected Jesus, as good Jews, to talk about the Israel's story and coming out of Egypt and perhaps read, you know, some of those passages and think through the historical account. And then suddenly in the middle of the meal, as they're reclining at the table, as they're eating together and enjoying one another's company, suddenly Jesus reinterprets the meal and he picks up the bread. And he says, I'm reinterpreting this Passover meal. I'm adding a completely new significance to it. And he says, this bread that we're going to break, it actually represents my body. This was on Thursday evening. Imagine what state you would be in if you knew in a few hours you were going to be crucified. And he still has time to have fellowship with his disciples. He still has time to have a meal with them. And he's basically saying to them, tomorrow morning, I'm going to be hanging on a cross, on a rubbish dump outside Jerusalem. And this bread that you see as part of this meal actually represents my body that's broken for you. And he broke it. He broke it. He handed it to his disciples. He said, I want you to eat this. And I want you never to forget what I'm about to do for you. Because this represents my body that's broken for you. And I want you to take this and I want you to eat this in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup. And in the same way, he said, this wine, this fruit of the vine that we drink at the Passover meal, he says, let me change its interpretation for you. This wine symbolizes my blood that's going to be poured out to wash away all your sins. And I want you to drink of this cup, and I want you to remember what I'm going to do for you. Hallelujah. And so Jesus brings a new significance to the Passover meal. In a sense, he pushes the old interpretation aside. And he said, this is the new covenant meal. The bread, my body broken, the cup, my blood shed. Hallelujah. And by doing so, friends, he keeps the cross at the very center of the life of the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus did for us. So it's part of eating together. It's part of celebrating one another. But then we come to this part, which is not just a meal. It's the meal where Jesus is here by his Spirit. He's in us and he's amongst us. And he said to us, I want you to do this as often as you gather in remembrance of me. Hallelujah. And friends, that's what we're going to do today. We're going to break bread together. And there's grace at this table. Jesus is here. His presence is here. His spiritual presence is here. Just like when you read this book, it's not just any book, it's the Word of God, and there's something about it that's different. There's a spiritual presence of God as you read these words. They come alive because it's the living Word of God. Hallelujah. And in the same way, this table is not just an ordinary table. When we understand its true significance, we realize it represents the cross, the death, the resurrection of Jesus for you. If you don't know Jesus today, I beg you, I plead with you, give your life to Christ. The demonstration is here before you. He held nothing back. But not just that, not just what happened 2,000 years ago, even today, his presence is here amongst us. Hallelujah. So there's grace at this table. There's grace for you today. Whether you don't know Jesus, whether you're just not in a good place, or whether you've drifted off from him, or whether you need healing, there's grace for you today. And Lord Jesus, we want to thank you today. We want to thank you so much, Lord, that you've included us in this meal. Thank you, Lord, you died for us. You died for me. Your blood was shed for me, Lord. And we worship you today in Jesus' name. Won't you thank him as you sit there? Just thank him for including you in this, the most significant meal. Won't you do that today? And friends, if you need to confess your sins, confess them to the Lord. He'll forgive you. He'll wash you. If you've drifted off, say, Lord, I'm back. Forgive me. I'm here. If you need a touch from God today, say, Lord, won't you touch me? Won't you fill me? I believe you here by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, there's grace at this table. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. We worship you, Lord. Thank you so much that what you've done is so much more important than just what the Israelites experienced, Lord. Thank you, we're part of a new covenant. The old has passed away in that sense, and the new has come. And Lord, we thank you this morning in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.